Hello, I'm Robert Crichton. Let me tell you a story. It's all about squirrels. It's a beautiful seasonal story for all the family, regardless of what time of the year it is. Once upon a time, there was a lonely little boy who wanted a ZX Spectrum for Christmas. The ZX Spectrum, for those whose memories do not go back that far, was once the latest technological breakthrough in electronic gaming, unless you owned a Commodore. But however much this lonely little boy may have pined for it, his Christmases would be forever ZX-less. This was in part because his family was very poor, but also because the boy was already very fat, and the idea of a gift designed to make him even less inclined to move around was verboten. His parents discouraged reading via similar logic. They instead made him play outside, regardless as to whether it was raining, snowing, or sleeting. If it were announced over the radio that a nuclear bomb was about to be detonated in the neighbouring garden, his parents would have kept the door firmly locked, while they got on with the hugely active activity of watching television. One cold Wednesday evening in autumn, the boy was wandering in circles round their little square of garden when he saw a squirrel. He sat and watched as it buried a nut in a corner of the garden. It kept returning to the garden, burying further nuts, and watching this activity helped him forget the otherwise worrying drop in his body temperature. Later, when he was finally allowed back inside, the boy asked his parents what the squirrel was doing. "Ah," said Dad, "it's burying acorns in the garden, ready for Christmas. You're very lucky to have seen it. It's the Christmas squirrel, don't you know?"
"What's the Christmas squirrel?" the boy asked tremulously.
"What's the Christmas squirrel? It's a special squirrel who every year prepares the ground for Christmas by burying lots of acorns everywhere. And in the trees all the cold and tired squirrels gather round, and on Christmas Eve they pray that the Christmas squirrel will come to them and give them a present. And on Christmas Eve the Christmas squirrel digs up all the spare acorns lost in the ground and gives them to good squirrels to eat on Christmas Day. But that's why Father Christmas is supposed to wear red. He's copying the red coat of the Christmas squirrel."
"The squirrel I saw was grey."
"Ah," said Dad. Well, that was one of his helpers. It's a big job collecting all the lost nuts in the world. It's a lot to ask one squirrel to do. But if you wish really hard, then maybe, just maybe, the Christmas squirrel will visit and leave you a present this Christmas." And so, on Christmas morning, the boy awoke to find his bedroom window open, and on it, a pile of acorns. He was so surprised, he didn't notice that his parents had conned him out of a ZX Spectrum by scrounging a handful of nuts. But what his parents didn't appreciate was how far-reaching this little snow-white lie would be. If it wasn't for this one father's story of the Christmas squirrel, the world would not have trembled under the terrible tyranny of the attack, of the Christmas squirrel. Which is the title of this tale. We jump nearly 40 years, and the little boy has grown up and become Reg. No longer Reginald, as christened, but solid, honest Reg. And will join Reg mid-scream.
"It isn't Christmas yet!"
yelled Reg at the television set on a balmy sunshine day one unseasonably fine August.
"It's supposed to be back to school in August. Back to school. Then it's Halloween, then bonfire night, and then, and only then, and it's still a bit early, then it can be Christmas."
You might think that this bellow of rage at an advertisement on the television was a tad excessive. Most people don't get themselves purple with fury because of an ad for triple glazing. Nothing says Christmas like a thermally efficient home. Fully endorsed by a clinically obese man in a red suit with fur trim and a drink problem. But Reg's rage was quite in proportion to his proper feeling. He was only trying to express his disappointment and horror that a beautiful holiday should be ruined for him by such early and unseasonable festive advertisements. It wasn't that Reg had anything against the thoroughly commercial nature of the modern Christmas. He was in business himself, owning, well, running, the local pub, and understood the pressures of the profit margin and the need for good sales. In fact, it was the delight in giving and receiving the latest toys, gadgets and playthings, gift-wrapped, perfect and shiny under their tiny tight Turin shrouds of cellophane that appealed to him most about the Christmas experience. 2 or 3 years of receiving only acorns in your stocking will have that effect on a person. He loved that fuss and crinkle, and the build-up too, but there were limits, there were seasons, this was wrong.
"It's August," he yelled. "It's August, how could they do this?"
"You know what it's like," said his life partner. "Christmas comes earlier every year, there's nothing you can do to stop it." Those casual words lodged themselves into a corner of Reg's brain, and nothing could prise them out. As he cleaned the pipes the next morning, he ran those words round and round. Nothing he could do. There must be something. "I'm going to start a campaign," he thought. "I'll make them listen." And then he remembered his secret weapon. A force once harnessed that no one could stand against, because Reg had a secret passion. He was possibly the world's first and only dedicated squirrel trainer. A squirrel wrangler, if you will. Or the squirrel whisperer, if you really want to be silly about it. A concealed shed behind the beer garden contained a specially converted cage filled with 11 prime specimens of the genus Scirrus vulgaris, or the red squirrel, as they are more commonly known. But how did Reg end up with quite so many squirrels in his shed, and the rarest of breeds as well? It was all down to a chance encounter at his pub. Reg was sitting behind the bar, minding his own pint, when in stumbled a mismatched man, grappling with an unruly box of assorted sandwiches. The man, wearing fishing waders and a bobble hat, blended naturally into the regular customer base of Reg's pub, the Whiffadil Maneuver. The mismatched man, it seemed, was trying to sell to the pub his new line in locally produced niche sandwiches. Reg, generally suspicious of anything less than 3% proof, was far from keen, but felt obliged at least to ask what flavours the man could supply.
"Well," said the man, spitting generally, "I have 3 main flavours. Firstly, I have a red squirrel and ginger."
"What?" yelped Reg.
"Red squirrel and ginger. You can't sell red squirrel sandwiches. They're a protected species." "Precisely," said the man, "precisely. You see, historically, the best way to save any species is to create a demand for its survival beyond, just existing. The neoliberal consumerist society has no place for your honest-to-God squirrel-type creature unless it can be packaged. So the best way to ensure its survival is to breed the animal commercially for meat. I thought I'd start with sandwiches."
"You want to save the red squirrel by eating it?"
"Yes."
"Surely," said Reg, "there isn't much eating on a squirrel."
"No, that hasn't gone unnoticed. If you look at the packaging, you will see I've attempted to market this problem as an unique selling point. I thought, as it is one pack per animal, I'd name each sandwich individually. You're holding Gerald. Reg dropped Gerald, the red squirrel sandwich, with a yelp. The mismatched man winced but said nothing. He was obviously used to the reaction. Just out of curiosity, said Reg, as there is no way in hell I'm going to buy these, what other flavours do you do? There's red squirrel and ginger, honey roast kingfisher, and great crested newt surprise. What's the surprise? The newt isn't dead. Wriggles all the way down. Much demand for live newt? They're jumping off the shelves. They sell? No, they just jump off the shelf. Difficult to keep for any length of time as well. Why, do they go off quickly? No, the newt tends to eat the bread. And how, asked Reg, are your sales going? Well, it's early days yet, but so far, adjusting for the current financial climate, none, yes. I'll tell you what, said Reg. I'll make you an offer. You'll order some sandwiches. Dear God, no. I'll do you a favour and buy your stock of squirrels from you before you go bust, or get arrested, whichever is more pressing. With this simple act of kindness, for the RSPCA were, as it turns out, hot on the heels of the mismatched man, Reg found himself with three bad-tempered squirrels, all to himself. You may ask why he didn't just get rid of them there and then, either give them up to experts or release them into the wild. Honestly, even Reg didn't know. Maybe it was destiny. Maybe it was insanity. Maybe it was just boredom. But Reg built himself a secret shed for his squad of secret squirrels and started to attempt to train them to do simple actions. Reg got his squirrels 3 years ago now. The squirrels he'd bought had largely settled and hadn't escaped twice. The squirrel shed was large, and within there were a number of separate tunnels and cages to keep them occupied. I think it's important to point out, as the author of this story, that I don't approve of the caging of fictional squirrels in this manner, and deep down I don't think Reg did either. But having stumbled at this first hurdle and not given up his charges to experts, he felt compelled to keep on keeping on. A half-plan, half-dream of a plan was forming as to what he was going to do with his family in that first few months as he built his kingdom of squirrel from old beer crates. Somewhere in his mind, he had an image of himself away from the pub, on the road, with the world's first and only touring squirrel circus. But it wasn't until he realised what he was doing was never going to pass any of the many legal fences, and after he got a steady girlfriend, that he started to think about just letting them go. She was starting to ask a few awkward questions, and Reg really didn't want to be caught in a lie. Not an absolute one, at any rate. But then he sat down to watch some telly and was incensed by the television advert of the unbelievably early Christmas variety, which is where we came into this particular narrative digression. Reg abandoned cleaning the pipes. The beer would be fine, it usually was, and hustled to his shed with furious purpose. He crashed through the door and called out to his squirrel pack, who he'd been training for years to respond instantly to their names. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Shiny-Nosed Rudolph, of course, and, having run out of reindeer names, Little Terry and June. The squirrels, alert to his presence, after years of diligent training, ignored him. It's only fair to point out at this juncture that Reg had not had much success training them, or any, really, but he hadn't been sufficiently motivated before. Now,
Now he had a purpose. Now he had something to train them for. He was going to use his squirrels to save Christmas from this curse of advertising. No, not the curse of advertising. He liked the advertising. No, to save Christmas from the curse of too early advertising. Of advertising too early, of premature adverts. He'd find a neat turn of phrase somehow. Anyway, what he needed to do was train his squirrels to recognise Christmas as something they needed to attack.
On his way out of the pub, he'd printed a generic picture of Santa Claus from off the internet, and now he pinned the picture up on the wall at one end of the shed. Then he carefully opened one of the cages and took the most vicious squirrel he had. It was a toss-up between Terry or June, and set her down a few feet from the image. Reg pointed at the picture and then, with purpose, firmly intoned, "Kill!"
June the Vicious, squirrel of death and destruction, seemed to look at the picture for a moment, stiffened as if in preparation for an attack, and then, quietly, calmly, did a little poo. This was going to be a long journey. The job of work that is professional squirrel training takes time, and Reg wasn't a professional. He had a pup to run and a partner who he was seriously neglecting. To say that time passed would be inaccurate. For the world, time indeed passed, but for Reg, time stood still and struck a pose. Reg wasn't sure how many days, how many nights, how many lunch breaks and stolen mornings. All he knew was that he had a mission and he must complete it. If he'd not been preoccupied with his mission, he might have noticed the absence of leaves on the trees. As the days grew darker and the nights cooler, he made a sort of progress, but he wasn't ready to move on to the next phase. Was he really going to take this any further? He probably wouldn't have if he hadn't been sort of pushed into it. One morning, he dragged himself out of bed, ready for another long tennis match day of shed, pub, shed, pub, shed, pub, shed, sleep. As he headed out the back of the pub towards his shed, head still full of sleep and strange forgotten dreams, he encountered the local vicar, who was sitting in the beer garden, vaping a quiet fake cigarette. Reg wasn't exactly a communicant, but the vicar did pop in for a drink every so often. Well, quite often. Most nights. So they were on good terms. "So sorry for trespassing, Reginald," the vicar said, standing politely. "I was hiding from Mrs. Makepeace." Reg understood completely. "Flower arranging," he said. "Not quite as a question." "Yes," said the vicar. And the two stood for a moment in companionable silence. The vicar, whose name exists, but isn't much use to the ears of a casual listener who requires clear signifiers more than tedious attention to fatuous conventions of realism. The vicar has a life and a backstory, but we'll come to those later. At the moment, we need a conventional C of E vicar, the kind that's on the endangered species list of character tropes. "Haven't seen you behind the bar for a while, Reginald. What have you been up to?" the vicar asked.
"I'm saving Christmas."
"How commendable, Reginald. I've often said in my sermons that the true meaning of Christmas has been too easily discarded. How do you plan to do it?"
"Do what?"
Reg's thoughts had drifted away as the vicar spoke, but the vicar was used to this.
"How do you plan to save Christmas?"
Perhaps because an exposition was long overdue, Reg decided to share.
"I'll show you," he said.
Reg guided the vicar to the shed and gestured at the cages around them.
"Here is the answer."
The vicar looked about, confused.
"Where?" "In the cages."
"Oh, are they chipmunks?"
"Chipmunks? Chipmunks? They're squirrels."
"Oh, of course. And the squirrels are going to save Christmas, are they?"
"Let me show you. Here is a standard Christmas image. Santa standing over some toys. Something that will appear on any hoarding, or in any shop window. This is the target. The target I have trained my friends here to attack.
Really? The vicar was, to say the least, bemused. Pastoral care really never did end. Reg opened a cage and picked out a squirrel.
This is my most vicious Christmas killer. I just put June in front of a picture like this and...
And June went, to coin a phrase, nuts.
The squirrel ran at the picture and tore it to shreds, a whirlwind of paper and tinsel and squirrel. In a moment it was all over, and Reg returned June to her cage.
These are my Christmas squirrels, Vicar, and I'm going to tell the world about them.
I see. How?
And Reg held up his phone.
With this.
And so the bemused vicar found himself assistant director on Reg's video of his squirrels, as he filmed them again and again, attacking Christmas. Or at least an approximation of it. That night, Reg booted up his laptop and uploaded his edited video onto an unnamed internet video platform. You can probably hear the name in your head without further prompting from me, which means they've won. Upload over, Reg, quite exhausted, climbed into bed, surprising his partner, who hadn't seen him in a while and had largely forgotten about him. Whilst Reg slept the sleep, if not of the just, then of the slightly insane, the video online got a hit. Someone on unnamed internet video platform played the video. This someone's viewing experience went something like this. A close-up shot of Father Christmas on his sleigh, or at least a rather clumsy model of him, an action man in a previous life with a cotton-wool beard and a felt coat. And as the figure was dragged along, a voice said, close to the camera mic,
"And they thought Christmas had come early, but it was too early. Santa wasn't supposed to arrive in the late summer. But look, this isn't Santa. It's a fake Santa, and he's trying to sell you something."
Someone, later identified to be the vicar, started to cry, "Boo! Hiss!" in the background. The voiceover continued.
But what this fake Santa didn't reckon with were the Christmas squirrels.
At which point, the video jump cut to a long shot of a running squirrel, stock sinister music playing, an arty filter applied, before going back to a close-up of a squirrel, later identified by police as Terry, June was tired, tearing the action man Santa to shreds. This frankly harrowing sequence cut abruptly to a mid-shot of a balaclavaed Reg stroking a squirrel in a big leather chair. His voice had been distorted, but helpful subtitles had been added to make his manifesto clearer.
"This is what happens to any adverts for Christmas before December. Two early adverts will be destroyed by an attack by the Christmas squirrels. Advertisers, beware."
And there the video ended. The viewer of the video hit the like button, largely because it had a squirrel in it, and people like cute animals online. The internet had grown somewhat bored of cute cats and stupid dogs of late, and it was quite ready for something new, so long as it was still quite cute and furry. This like drew another viewing and another like and a mention on a blog, which drew another 12 likes, and then it got posted on various unnamed social media sites and one or two antisocial ones, and the likes and the hits and the postings and repostings spiralled into an uncontrolled chainmail reaction beyond all sense or control, so that within hours the video had been seen by 500,000 people and counting. Reg would have been delighted, but he was asleep. And in the morning, when he should have at least had a look at the post, life got in the way and he had to focus on running the pub for a while. serve customers, tap casks, order crisps and the like, every urgent job driving from his mind his personal apotheosis. Which meant that he didn't get a chance to watch in real time the metastasizing idea of the Christmas squirrel. The campaign he'd started, at least in thought, was coming to life. People were taking his idea seriously, militantly. Within hours of posting, as he poured pints and ignored customers, the attacks started. Real attacks on real targets. It was late at night, and a local billboard hosted a poster legending Christmas bargains galore. An elderly pensioner walked past it, barely giving it a glance. But then she heard movement behind her. A blur of movement whizzing round the image of Santa and his toys. There was a tearing and a ripping sound. By the time the pensioner had turned around to look, the poster was in shreds. And at the bottom of the hoarding, over the damage, was written in spray paint, "By order of the Christmas squirrels." This attack was but the first. Across Britain, Christmas displays were being targeted by unknown attackers. The Christmas lights in Slough were ripped down for illuminating in late November. The Christmas displays in the major supermarkets of Grimsby were all destroyed in the night. And you'd shudder to think what happened to an inflatable Santa in Weston-super-Mare. And no one saw a thing. These acts of vandalism were just signed by the Christmas squirrels in some way. But as of yet, no one had joined the dots. Even Reg remained oblivious, having barely returned to the unnormal of his squirrel work. The video was left unchecked, the squirrels ignored beyond changing the food and water, which job he did in a daze, his rage fading as the end of November approached. He half heard someone talking about a damaged display in the marketplace or a reference to squirrels which he didn't quite catch, but no dots were joined. But then the media finally sat up and noticed the destruction was nationwide, international even, and mainstream news reports had a fun little story to sell. One morning, Reg saw a clip on the television just out of the corner of his eye, not registering, but then light bulb flash panic. Hang on. Wasn't that his video? Wasn't that him in a balaclava? He turned the sound up and heard the commentary. "The attacks across the country have all been attributed to the mysterious Christmas squirrels, whose manifesto has been to destroy all adverts for Christmas, and linked to this video, originally uploaded on unnamed internet video platform, and now seen across the globe. Whilst the leader of the group has not yet been traced, a spokesperson did phone a radio station, and so left this statement." And a crackly voice could be heard over a phone. "We demand that Christmas is celebrated within the proper confines. We demand the 12 days of Christmas are sanctified. If people persist in bringing Christmas earlier, then they must face the wrath of the Christmas squirrels." "But," a studio voice interjected, "surely these attacks aren't really the work of actual squirrels?"
"They are," said the voice. "I've seen them myself. I've seen their training and them at work. The Christmas squirrels exist and do God's work."
Reg switched off the television. Oh dear, he thought. What have I done? He ran to his laptop and went onto unnamed internet video platform. The video had had 20 million hits.
Bugger,
he thought. So should have monetized it. But another terrible thought pushed this regret from his mind. The squirrels! He ran from the pub down to his shed and threw open the door. All seemed normal. The cages were closed, everything in place, but it was oddly silent. No litter or footsteps, no flutter of tails. The cages were empty. Oh my, he thought. He must have succeeded. He'd trained the squirrels, and now they were loose and destroying Christmas. And it was as he looked for a hole in the empty cages that the police raided his pub. The inspector who had the misfortune to interrogate Reg had a headache. It wasn't just that this case was really annoying. It wasn't just that he couldn't really be bothered with it, or that he hadn't slept well the last few nights. It was Reg himself, or rather the fact that he was cluttering up an interrogation suite dressed in a large purple dinosaur onesie. Right, so... Well then, so... Okay, let me get this straight. You trained up what many people are calling a terrorist cell made up entirely of squirrels to attack the advancing commercialization of Christmas. But the squirrels took your training too much to heart, went rogue and escaped and are now holding the world to ransom. Is that what you're saying? Yes. No, I was sort of training them. I don't know. Look, I just made a silly video. It's not meant to be taken so literally. So, you're not a terrorist trying to destroy Christmas? No, look. Look, I only wanted to stop adverts appearing in Midsummer. You do appreciate, sir, that it is currently December? December? Reg had somewhat lost track of time. Though, thinking about it, he normally only put on the dinosaur onesie once the clocks went back, or forward, whichever it was. Yes, sir, December, and the attacks are still ongoing. I don't understand it. I'll help any way I can, but I really don't think I can help. I'm not in charge. I see. What'll happen to me, officer? Well, if some people are to be believed, I should arrest you for offences against the Counter-Terrorism Act. But, frankly, I don't think we can prosecute a terror cell of squirrels, however much pressure is put on the CPS. We're taking your laptop, and there may be charges relating to animal welfare, but at this time, interview suspended. Formalities were gone through, and forms were filled. Coffee was even offered, and Reg was freed to work through his thoughts. The only problem there being, he didn't really have any. He didn't understand. He was at sea. He was lost. He was a moron. Any hope of formulating a coherent thought process was scuppered by the interruption by a stream of journalists and cameras, which had now invaded the pub, which had, in his absence, been opened as usual. Well, so long as they bought a drink, he wasn't fast. The journalists had come to the conclusion that a rather ragged pub landlord in a dinosaur onesie wasn't likely to be the Napoleon of crime. "Are you behind the Christmas squirrels?" they asked. "No, it was just a thing. I didn't think. I'm not responsible." And so the questions continued and on into the night, when he finally felt he could safely empty the bar and start to shut up for the day. But at the point when he was about to finally go to bed, the cars arrived. There were six of them, black and shiny, solid and menacing. They pulled up outside his country pub, and out of each of these six cars there filed six suits, six corporate suits, the suitiest of suit-type people, in super-sharp business suits, flanked by their six bodyguards, their six PAs, and their six secretaries. "We have come," said one of the six, "to deal with the Christmas squirrels." "You'd better come in," said Reg. They sat in the saloon bar, six suits and their six bodyguards, their six PAs and their six secretaries, and Reg. It was a bit cramped in the snug. We represent British retail. We are just six of the biggest retail companies in the country, and we are not often found in one room. We are normally in competition. We are normally at each other's throats. But we are here because we need to speak with you. This is an unique event. Do you understand? Reg didn't, but nodded anyway. We have an offer to make you. Gentlemen, and at the spokesveryman's signal, all six PAs placed six suitcases on the table and displayed the six contents for Reg. All six suitcases, not briefcases, suitcases, were chock full of cash. We have come to ask you to stop. We have come to ask for mercy, and this is our pledge. This is yours. End this war on us, and we will leave you with this. No questions asked. It's bad enough we have the internet selling stuff against us. We cannot have it destroying us as well. Do we have an understanding? Reg sat for a moment, watching them, watching him, watching the money. He wanted to say, "Certainly, sirs." He wanted to take their money and jump in a car and disappear, but he batted the thought away. He'd never get away with it. There were definite bulges in the jackets of the bodyguards, and they weren't pleased to see him. He swallowed with deliberate care. I'm sorry, but I can't accept. And then a surprising thing happened. The six men and their six PAs, six bodyguards and secretaries, all as a body of one, fell to their knees and begged. "Please!" cried the pinstriped Greek chorus. "Please stop, we're going bust. No one is buying anything. They're afraid they'll be attacked by squirrels." "You sure it's not that everyone's just buying stuff online?" Reg asked. "No," cried the chorus. "It's definitely the squirrels." "I would love to help," said Reg. I wish I could, but I don't know how to stop them. I don't know how." After a brief pause, the 6x4 businessmen attempted to regain some dignity, pulled themselves up from off their knees, dusted off their trousers, and said slowly, emphatically, and in unison, "You'll be hearing from our lawyers." They turned on their heels to drive into the night, the drama of the moment only slightly ruined when one of the PAs nipped back to ask if he could use the facilities before they sued him. Faced with destroying Christmas and total ruin, Reg did what any sensible person would do. He got bladdered. He started with the vodka, moved on to gin, a few whiskies, and then began on a cocktail of Pernod, bitter shandy, and Bovril. He passed out at approximately 3:30 in the morning. Reg woke on the sofa. The room was dark, and despite the drinking, he felt serene. He tried to sit up, but couldn't. He couldn't lift his head, even. He was at one with the sofa. Oddly, he didn't find the paralysis unnerving at all. Then Reg heard the laughing. "Who's there?" The laughing stepped up from giggle to guffaw. "I can hear you." He failed to yell. "Come out so I can see you," his vocal cords refused to say. The laughing continued unabated till Reg felt the something crawl onto his stomach. He would have frozen if he could have moved. His eyes scrolled down, and there, just visible, was a squirrel sitting, cross-legged, on his ribcage. "Hello," said Reg. He didn't physically say it, he couldn't move, but he said it reflexively, inside. "Hello," said the squirrel in reply. "Are you the Christmas squirrel?" he asked. The squirrel returned to laughing. "No,
Of course not. There's no such thing.
Yes, there is, said Reg. My dad told me all about them.
You know that isn't true, Reginald. No one else has ever heard of the Christmas squirrel. When you tried to tell people about it at school as a child, they stuck your head down the toilet for being a gullible baby, didn't they?
Yes, he remembered it well.
You know, deep down, the Christmas squirrel is just something your dad said. Once.
Then what are you? You must be a special kind of squirrel yourself.
I'm not a squirrel, said the squirrel, enjoying the contradiction. I'm a meme.
A meme?
Yes, I'm an idea. I'm the idea of the Christmas squirrel, and thanks to you, I'm spreading across the planet like wildfire.
I don't understand.
Ideas are alive, Reginald, said the squirrel, who was unexpectedly lighting a large cigar with a Zippo lighter. We like to be passed on to others, to as many people as possible. That's what a meme is, an idea. Spread.
I see, said Reg. The squirrel, who now seemed to be knitting, continued,
All you ever really wanted to do was spread the idea of the Christmas squirrel.
And I did. Everyone knows about the Christmas squirrel.
No, 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 said the squirrel, who appeared now to be juggling a large number of jars of pickled herring. But they only know about the destructive squirrel. I'm the true idea of the Christmas squirrel, the one your father told you all those years before. They don't know the true meaning of the Christmas squirrel. You have failed to spread the correct idea. You have failed to spread the correct meme.
What must I do? Reg asked.
Spread the real story of the Christmas squirrel. Spread the correct meme. That's what I want you to do.
And you are?
I told you, Reg, I'm a meme. I live inside your brain. At present, I'm a hallucination brought on by alcohol poisoning. Look at me. I don't even look real. I'm just a stuffed toy. If you can use the internet to spread the message, you can make me as real as most things. Come on. If social networks can overthrow governments, they can definitely save the Christmas squirrel.
Yes, you're right. I will let people know the real story, the true story of the Christmas squirrel. Don't worry, Mr. Squirrel. You can count on me.
I'm glad of that, said the squirrel, who for some reason had a petrol can in his little paws. I'm glad of that, because I'm afraid I'm going to have to immolate myself now.
What? You can't do that, Mr. Squirrel.
Don't worry, this is just a dream, said the squirrel, as it poured the petrol over its head. When I burst into flames, you should wake up. Bring on the squirrel spring! And the squirrel flicked his lighter into life. And Reg awoke, screaming.
Just as in his dream, upon waking, Reg initially found he couldn't move, but this time it wasn't sleep paralysis, just delayed shock from the Bovril Perno cocktail. He recovered himself slowly, letting the hangover wash over him, the dry mouth and pounding head having their say for the present. He needed to do something to end the madness. He switched the television on. Another night of chaos across the country, as reports of over 100 attacks linked to the so-called Christmas squirrels. This latest statement was received from their spokesperson this morning.
The war continues. We will keep the streets clear of Christmas.
And Reg started to think. This was unusual for him, something he was not often asked to do. That voice, their spokesman, it had to be a person, someone real, not a squirrel, someone who knew about his shed. And the voice did sound familiar, of course. It was the vicar. The spokesman for the Christmas squirrels was the vicar. Reg pulled himself up, swallowed a glass of slightly warm water, and made his way to where he knew the vicar would be. Well, it was Sunday. The vicar was halfway through his sermon when Reg staggered through the church doors. He stood at the back of the church, an avenging angel in his purple dinosaur onesie.
bugger. He should have changed. He knew he should have changed. A few people turned to see him enter and looked away, obviously thinking that in his prehistoric state he was incorrectly dressed for church. Feeling self-conscious, Reg decided that shouting across the surprisingly full church that the vicar was behind a string of squirrel attacks might not be a wise move. So, rather sheepishly for a dinosaur, he found a space at the end of a pew, his neighbours moving up as far away from him as possible, and sat through the rest of the service. There was some awkwardness when the collection plate went around, but the dinosaur onesie had no pockets, so he couldn't carry any money with him, could he?
Roar!
After the service, he had to linger on the back pew as the congregation wandered past him, mostly disapprovingly. But one kind soul did say, "I've not seen you here before," and attempted a conversation. "The vicar had such a morning," the well-wisher said. "Couldn't get into the vestry. Had nothing to wear, had to change into a spare from the vicarage." Reg shook the well-wisher off and finally caught the vicar. "I think we need to talk," he said through clenched teeth. "Come across to the vicarage," the vicar said, sweetly, and the two men wandered over to the small house. The moment they were across the threshold, Reg piled in. "What do you think you're up to?" "I could ask you the same question," returned the vicar, turning up to church in such a get-up. "You're the one pretending to be a spokesman for the Christmas squirrels." "Rubbish," said the vicar. "I would never do such a thing. I'm a trusted member of the community. I don't train up squirrels to attack Christmas and then let them escape to wreak havoc across the country. I wouldn't do that." But Reg wasn't listening. He had started to go through the house room by room. "What are you looking for? Squirrels? Is that what you're looking for, Reginald?" There was triumph in his voice, and it didn't take long to conclude that there was nowhere to keep them. It was as Reg was on the verge of defeat that the vicar's wife came in. "Oh, dear," she called, "a man delivered this to the door. Do you know anything about it?" The vicar went white. Reg ran to the front door and looked at a vast sack sitting there. "I knew it," said Reg. "Nuts," said the vicar. "Exactly. So why are you buying bulk supplies of nuts, vicar, if not to feed your secret squirrels?" "You'll never find them," the vicar cried. "You'll not stop the great work." "Where are they?" And then Reg remembered what he'd heard earlier. "Ah, oh, so tell me, vicar, why didn't you get changed in the vestry? Why is the door mysteriously jammed?" And Reg, the enormous purple dinosaur, was running as fast as his extinct legs would take him, back to the church, the vicar in hot pursuit. They ran past the warden, who was about to lock up, and to the vestry door. "Open it," Reg cried. "No," said the vicar. "There are squirrels inside," Reg shouted, his voice echoing around the empty church. "Don't be silly, Reginald. There aren't any squirrels inside." And the vicar started to motion to the warden that Reg, dinosaured up as he was, wasn't well. "Perhaps we should call for an ambulance? I don't think Reginald is..." But then there came a noise from inside the vestry. "Listen," said Reg. "Listen." And despite the protests of the vicar, a noise was hearable. So Reg shouted at the door, "Come, Dasher, come, Dancer, come, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Shiny-Nosed Rudolph, of course, and Little Terry and June. Speak to me." And there came the unmistakable sound of squeaking and scratching from the other side of the door. "I think," said the warden, "we'd better get the door open, vicar." And all else followed. Inside the vestry, the squirrels had made quite a mess, running amok amongst torn surplices, and now quite dirty furniture. They shut the door,
and the vicar, Reg, and the warden sat on a pew to hear confession, which was unfortunate, being Anglican.
Christmas is a very difficult time for a priest. We're suddenly very busy, working too hard, really, and there is the hypocrisy of a suddenly full church, and I think it's got to me. Would be easier to cope with if I even believed in God.
Oh, this was all a crisis of faith?
Reg asked, not unsympathetically.
Oh, no, said the vicar. I never believed in God, not from the off. But, well, my father was priest before me, and it was clear from an early age that I'd be really good at doing the job.
The warden nodded here. He was quite a popular vicar.
I didn't see that not believing in God was a particularly important bar to being very good at being a priest. I'm an excellent speaker, and I write a mean sermon, so it was either the church or the stage. Both are a kind of performance, and it's not that I don't hold philosophically with a lot of your basic Christian thoughts. Do unto others is pretty good for most situations. Turning the other cheek and doing good works are rather fine too. But the whole resurrection, God the Father, Son, etc., well, let's just say it's all a bit silly, isn't it? Lovely nonsense it might be, but nonsense nonetheless. So, when Reg's little video became a success and started coming true, I thought, well, every little helps. I thought, if I gave the moment a voice, all to the good. I mean, you don't have to have a God to do God's work. So you don't need actual militant squirrels to have people act on their behalf. Then I realised that if they found the actual squirrels, then the whole story would fall apart. It would rather be like finding Jesus' tomb fully occupied.
Well, that's all very well, said the warden. But if the attacks aren't caused by squirrels, and you're not doing it yourselves, who on earth is? The rest of the day was quite busy for a Sunday. The police came down in force. A few bishops appeared to coordinate a cover-up, and Reg's girlfriend finally left him. Lying about a shed full of squirrels will do that for a vegan. That night, Reg sat in the bar, the television switched on, but silently telling the news in subtitles.
A series of arrests have been made in the so-called Christmas squirrel vandalism case. People from all walks of life and across the country have been rounded up in a series of police raids coordinated by Scotland Yard. The individuals all communicated online via social media, and knew little of each other beyond that they were all going to attack any public selling of Christmas.
Reg turned off the television.
So, said a barfly, there never were any Christmas squirrels.
No, said Reg. It was just a load of copycats.
Who'd have thought so many people would copy a stupid video on unnamed video platform?
The barfly slurped. It wasn't that bad a video, was it?
No idea, I don't do videos. I have a life.
And the barfly indicated he was ready for his eighth pint. Upon receiving it, he asked,
You didn't actually train the squirrels to attack Christmas, did you?
No, Reg admitted.
How did you get the squirrels to attack things, then?
Smeared targets with peanut butter.
Worked a treat. So there was no such thing as a Christmas squirrel?
Oh no, said Reg. There is. The Christmas squirrel is real. He goes out on Christmas Day and delivers to all the little squirrels the acorns lost in the year. I was thinking about that story all through church. I kept thinking, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the Christmas squirrels, and I will make them a reality. I will tell the world about them. And they will believe, just as I did.
Righto, said the barfly, as he staggered off to find the toilet. Hey, what happened to the real squirrels?
He asked.
But that's something Reg would not say. Because that's another story.